Good morning. Welcome to Ripley Presbyterian Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We are joy-filled to gather in His name and to worship our God. Before we begin our worship time, let's share for a few moments in any announcements, prayer concerns, or joys that we want to lift up with our community of faith. It's good, first announcement for me to say is it's good to be back with you. I've been absent from this holy space for a couple of weeks. Had a wonderful worship experience last week at Old Monroe. Some people know it as that. Some people know it as Monroe Mission as we celebrated their 200-year anniversary. Many of our worshipers and church members actually used to attend church camp. Betty, you may have went down there once in your youth just a few years ago. I know Bobby did and some others. Lamont, did you say you camped down there? That's great. Wonderful. So it was good to be with our friends and loved ones at the land of the hanging grapes. I bet Tommy Covington's one of the few people who knows that's what Pontotoc is known by, right? The land of hanging grapes. Other announcements, we do want to continue to share updates. There are mission efforts, as we speak of Monroe Mission, underway. There are mission efforts underway for the people of Waverly. Waverly in Tennessee, our PDA through the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance is certainly highly engaged in that recovery effort, as is the local Cumberland Presbyterian Church, one of our students at MTS. Young guy just graduated from college, and he jumped right in the frying pan. He has taken a leadership role, and their congregation, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church there at Waverly, is kind of a staging place for receiving gifts, too. So anyone that wants more information about that, I have posted those on the Facebook page, and there are many ways to reach out. Certainly there are still recovery opportunities for the people impacted by recent weather and the hurricanes. We continue to lift up all those families and individuals too. Our mission emphasis specifically for this month is the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. We've already collected $675, so thanks be to God that we can be part of the difference through the love of Christ to the world around us. Thank you, church, for being the church. Grateful for that. Other announcements today, we are blessed and pleased to have a special musician today. Miss Elizabeth Elliott will be providing our beautiful music and worship. We thank you. That thank you was from Lynn, written specifically this day. So she and Benton are truly a blessing to our church family. We're grateful for her leadership and worship today. I want to give special thanks to Dr. Norris Howell and Miss Jennifer Huddleston. Did they do a splendid job last week? The both of them. And I'm very grateful for their leadership and their carrying on with the love and grace during worship. I know I've heard many positive comments. So thank you for Norris and Jennifer for your leadership. All right. Just looking through the other announcements that we do want to review and discuss together. Are there any that you would like to lift up verbally this morning that I have not touched on? The Cross of the Christ Fund is also continuing to grow. That contribution has reached $650 through our congregation. That's our number today, isn't it? $650 for the Cross of the Christ and for PDA. So thank you, church, for your grace and generosity. Okay, if there are no other announcements that we want to mention verbally, we want to share together now joys and concerns with our worship community. Are there updates to our prayer list or any additions that you'd like to share this morning? Do want to provide an update. We have Jenny Cook Thompson. Many of you know Jenny and my cousin, Justin, her husband. He's my first cousin. Jenny had COVID-19, so we want to pray for her. And little Eden is especially susceptible, has a compromised immune system. So we're trying to be very diligent to make sure Eden didn't get COVID, and Justin has remained negative as well. So we give thanks and continue to pray for them. You see there the family of Malcolm Lindsay. We pray for Malcolm's family and a dear friend to our community, Brother Bill Baker, the pastor to Tippa County. We lift up his family, my dear friend, in their grief and loss. We also want to be prayerful for the family of Cindy Dickey. Cindy is the aunt of Stan Horton, who our beloved church member who died recently, and Cindy passed away as a result of complications from COVID-19. The young age of 67, beautiful, lovely lady. She was more like a second mom to Stan, and touched base with BJ yesterday with Stan's birthday, and certainly as they're facing that loss. So continue to be prayerful for their family, Stan's entire family. We celebrate the joys too. Hannah was selected to the homecoming, what do you call that? Not the maid, but I guess that's it. She was a homecoming maid. Is that right, Jen? So we celebrate that good news with Hannah and their family. Other additions to our prayer list, updates we want to share today. We want to be prayerful for all of our students, all of our teachers, as the COVID numbers continue to offer precarious times for us locally. Joys, let us join our hearts together in worship as we celebrate the love of our God. Amen. That didn't warm our heart. We had water on it this morning, didn't we? Beautiful, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for preparing us to worship our God. Let us celebrate the call to worship from Holy Scripture. The psalmist shares these words of life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Friends, would you join with me now as we lift our hearts in prayer, offering our petitions for God's forgiveness as we pray together a prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is nothing good in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto men in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of his name. Amen. Hear this declaration of God's forgiveness. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. This proves God's love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This morning's first reading comes from the book of James, chapter 2. If you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 229. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. And then we turn the page and continue with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord.
In our prayer concerns, we also want to remember the Branch family. They were involved in a very serious auto accident. Abby and Bruce Branch are the parents and their three children. So we'll be prayerful for them during the prayers of the people today too. Jennifer shared that concern with us. Let us now pray together for God's illumination upon this holy reading that we've shared and are about to receive. Oh God, we thank you that in your word there is life, but not just existence, but life more abundantly, my life more sustaining, life more comforting, life more accepting and claiming of us as your people. Oh God, we bow in your presence, not even knowing what we need, but knowing that you are the one to provide it. So as we pray this day with our own wants and desires, will you fill us, O God, through the words of this sermon and this holy reading of these scriptures to make us and mold us in the image that will be well-pleasing unto you, reflective of your love, and bring glory to your name. For you, God, are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus we pray. Amen. For our second lesson of scripture today, we will share a gospel reading from Mark chapter 7. I'll begin with verse 24 and continue through verse 47. You're welcome to follow along on page 42 in the New Testament portion, the back portion of your pew Bible. Or maybe you just want to close your eyes and listen. And visualize the word as it's spoken among us. Let us together consider God's word for us as his people. Mark 7, verse 24. From there Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. From verse 31, then he returned from the region of Tyre, and he went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Johnny was the baby of the family, the youngest, in many ways the last of the line, and the apple of his mama's eye. Johnny could be rebellious at times, had his own way of thinking and responding to challenges. In fact, one Sunday morning, this devout church-going family that they never missed, Johnny made a statement to his mom over the breakfast table. "I'm not going to church today." Mama kind of said in that mama voice, "Well, if you can give me two good reasons why you're not going to church, I'll accept, I'll comply, and I'll agree." He said, "Well, number one is my Sunday school class doesn't like me, and I don't like them." She said, "Okay, I'll give you two reasons why you're going to church. You're 30 years old, and you're the pastor." Johnny was still the baby. Our babies never stop being our babies. Or maybe not just from a parent-child relationship, but any type of family cherished relationship, that bond never breaks, right? In our text today, we hear the beauty specifically of that mothering voice of this lady who comes seeking restoration for her child. Many of us who've been parents can understand the passion and depths of her agony when the one she'd been entrusted to from heaven to nurture in the faith and love and life was vulnerable and under attack. And certainly those of us who may not have children of ourselves, but feel that same intimacy for our parents who gave us life when we care for them in their need. There is something special in that relationship with those that God has entrusted us to most of all as family. It seems appropriate and scriptural to offer them preferential treatment as those in need of God's love that we have to give. The woman models this in our text today, and then Jesus ultimately complies to her request after this verbal sparring match goes on between she and Jesus, where he ultimately says, "Your child has been restored." He saw the love, the intimacy, the compassion this mother had for her child. You know, there's a proverb that says, a poem from the 16th century, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." Well, you know, I'm wondering if there's... maybe there's another way to say that. Hell hath no fury like a mama who you've messed with her children. They'll come down on you, won't they, Jody? Now, see, I rank pretty highly in my household, but I rank way below those children. There is a commission from on high for us to care for those who need special care, for the vulnerable. And it doesn't have to only be our family. You see, I believe our scripture tells us today that we have a special commission, all of us as Christian people, to care for the most vulnerable. The imagery in this text today is of the parent-child, for they need our protection, our defense, our special love. But isn't it also commissioned to us from Holy Scripture, where Jesus speaks of those words in Matthew 25 when he says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was sick. I was in prison. You cared for me. You came to see me. I was naked and you clothed me. He said, you see, when you do that to the least, the most vulnerable among you, you do it to me. Friends, we are called to care for those who are most vulnerable in need of our restoration. You know, Jennifer shared in our text today from that writing of James, the brother of Jesus, where James roughs us up a bit. He has a tendency of being able to do that. James first says, he begins, I think it was in the very first verse that Jennifer read, he said, when you show favoritism among you, you're not being godly. But then he goes on to say, just a few verses later, that those who are poor among you are chosen by God to be nurtured over those who have plenty or the rich. So it seems James is saying both and. In fact, I wonder if James is not saying this. The problem isn't favoritism. The problem is, who are you going to give your favoritism to? It seems consistent in Scripture that our God is one who offers preferential treatment and favoritism. Certainly, we know the stories of the people Israel being the chosen race. And we hear in our text today, Jesus basically preaching this sermon to the woman who was of Gentile origin, not a part of the Jewish family, when he says the children must be fed first. There was preference from God. And I think James is even challenging us to wrestle with our faith. If there's going to be preference in relationships, then who do we give that preference to? One example in our text today is the woman, those we're called to care for, our family, our children, or maybe our parents. Secondly, we're called to care for the vulnerable. The mama's child was in need. And then Jesus, as he transitions from this story, this ministry entire, to another area of the Decapolis, he cares for one who is deaf, who was also vulnerable. You see, here's what I think James is saying too, as we put together this gospel and this letter from Jesus' brother. That James is saying, we're called to care for the poor, as he spoke of. And oftentimes that imagery of the poor in this first century world represented other challenges as well. Maybe physical, spiritual, emotional brokenness, widows, orphans. You see, all of those physical and social challenges that people faced made them also poor. But ultimately, they were all in need of special care. They were the weakest, or as Jesus would say, the least among us. So friends, it seems that our God has a passion, like any loving parent, to care for the world in its vulnerability. If we believe that, as parents, or as children, for our parents, then certainly it makes sense in a scriptural representation as well, and applies to our faith. Have you ever considered this as we think about Jesus offering this challenging interpretation of saying, let the children be fed first and the dogs afterwards? Have you ever considered why it is that God picked the people Israel as the chosen race? I guess that's a question we'll never fully understand until we're in that heavenly realm. But maybe, it perhaps, friends, could be this. Could it be that God knew the challenges they would face throughout their existence? They were among the most vulnerable of all creation. Think about the journey of the people Israel. It began with Joseph, who's a great example of being betrayed, being put in slavery, and seeing his peril turned into triumph. And the people Israel were in bondage and slavery in Egypt. And all the way through our modern times of the Holocaust, they have been a people who've known despair and destruction. Could it be in God's grace that that is the reason He chose them for their vulnerability? See, that's the magnitude and the miracle of God's love is that there is preference for those who are in the most need of His protection and care. Friends, I hope those words give you life today. If you feel threatened or vulnerable, whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally, professionally this day, may you know that that is the very gift of life that our Savior came to conquer for us. You see, I think in this text today, this is a great transition in Jesus' ministry. I remember John Braddock and me talking about the transfiguration once of Jesus, of how that's when all the difference of our faith was made. It was the understanding for Jesus that He truly was Messiah. And I think that this text, as it's preparing us for the transfiguration, that there's a turning point in this text today too. That from this point, from this experience, shortly hereafter, Jesus is going to proclaim to His disciples, to His friends, that the Son of Man must die. You see, I think this was an eye-opening that His kingdom was not of this world, was His kingdom, and He came to prepare a place for us in glory forever. Not only was it eye-opening for Jesus that He would have to suffer and die, but I think this experience with this woman today helped Him to see in a way maybe He had not before. Not only was He called to die, but who was He called to die for? All of creation. Every person. For you see, friends, here's the transition of our faith today, as Jesus proclaimed, let the children be fed first. He was also saying that all others must be fed as well. And it's in this transition that I believe Jesus understood that we were all vulnerable children of God, siblings to Him through God's grace and love. You know, I read recently that dolphins have an amazing social habitat. Many of us have known that. We see their beauty. We remember Flipper and his little smiles on TV. And I understand that scientists have come to realize that each dolphin has a unique whistle, a unique tone that they can emit that serves kind of like their name. And a dolphin's family and friends can remember that whistle even if they've been absent from one another for maybe 20 years. They hear that whistle, they know his name. And another thing about the dolphins, they can imitate one another's whistle. And when they want to see that other dolphin, they will whistle their whistle. They will sing their song. They will say their name. Friends, the prophet Isaiah said this, "You are mine. Do not fear. I have called you by name." Dear friends, may you know that through the love of Jesus Christ, we all now are part of the family of God, where He looks upon us and proclaims those words as He did to the disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. For we are one through Christ Jesus, whose preference is for God's children, and we all are part of the family." Amen. I want you to join me now as we lift up prayers for the people of God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We bow in your presence, oh Lord, in the holiness of this setting, those of us that are in this sacred sanctuary and those of us who are joining virtually even later this week. We lift our hearts as one in prayer for each other and with one another. We pray, oh God, for those that are closest to us, our family, our friends, the most vulnerable that you've called us to minister to and for, perhaps students in our school, co-workers who are downtrodden, people in our community who need someone to fight for them what they can't do alone. God, we have special wants for our family, and our friends, and our loved ones. But beyond what we want, God, will you supply the need for each one? Will you pour forth miracles of grace beyond what we even know to ask for, whether those needs be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, or relational? You, O God, are our physician. We pray for your church, for the gospel, for every congregation or mission or ministry that shares your love, O God, not only in what we say and do, will you inspire and empower them. We pray for our nation. We ask that in every way pleasing to you bring unity, O God. You break down dissension and barriers. That you be with our leaders, our president, our senate, our Congress, the Supreme Court. Pray for our military, those who defend our freedom and liberty. We lift up our state, our county and city governing bodies, your public servants, who are our voices in times of need and serve us in our vulnerability. We pray for the rich and powerful. We pray for the poor and downtrodden. We lift up everyone this day that no one else is praying for. As we pray specifically for every person on our prayer list, lifting up those names we mentioned, those that are written and those that were unspoken. You know their names, O God, as your scripture tells us, and you know their needs. And now, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray for Jody, every one of us right now. We pray for Tommy, Randall, Manya, Noah, Bobby and Ann, and the list goes on. We pray for each of these now by name, God, that's worshiping, praying with us. You know what we need. Will you bring healing and wholeness and restoration? And now, God, as your children, because your scripture and your promise tells us that, We join our voices as one and say the words in prayer you taught us. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as people of Christ, let's remember together what it is that we believe about our Savior. Will you say it with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, friends, as we depart to go forth as Christ, light, and love, would you receive with me God's blessing for us as his people? That now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God who is our Father, and the fellowship and peace of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. Amen.